Thanks for checking out this week's episode of the Seth and Joe Show podcast. Before the guys get to ranting and raving about the latest in professional wrestling and mixed martial arts, be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, and Podomatic. You can also find them on Facebook at facebook.com/The Seth and Joe Podcast. With that said, Seth, Joe, over to you guys.
Is that response to the what I just said that nobody heard?
Yes.
Okay. A little bit of
inside baseball.
Inside, sure, why not? A little bit of keeping kayfabe alive here on the Seth and Joe Show. Anyway, it's the WrestleMania episode, everyone. WrestleMania. It's not WrestleMania night one and night two, by the way. It's WrestleMania Saturday and WrestleMania Sunday. They didn't even call it WrestleMania 37. It was just like, initially it was just WrestleMania.
Here's your live show, you fucks.
It's like deal with it. It's like how they introduced like the Xbox One. Yeah. It's like, okay, so is it the Xbox, like the original Xbox, or is it the Xbox One? It's like, no, it's the Xbox One. It's like, that doesn't, yeah, you have a different setup. Because the arm thing wouldn't like work over there for some reason, because it wouldn't reach. And then my whole bookshelf was about to fall over. So, anyway, more inside baseball stuff. So, yeah, WrestleMania, Saturday and Sunday. Good show.
Yep.
Very good show altogether. I think, surprisingly, I mean, it was kind of like what I was saying on the last, I think it was the last episode of the podcast where... Initially, like, for last year's WrestleMania, I thought it was going to be terrible, and it ended up being really good for the most part. And this one, I think, was better than last year's altogether.
I'd say so.
Some very good matches. I think overall, because how many matches were there? Let me see.
I One, 12.
Two, seven, 14 matches altogether. Yeah. Of those 14, I'd say maybe, like, three of them weren't good. Maybe, I mean, debatable about the Raw tag title match. I didn't think it was bad. It was just kind of, it was obviously there to just put over Omos. I mean, the tag team turmoil match from night one, the women's tag team turmoil match, the women's tag title match in night two, and then, the Fiend versus Bray Wyatt or, Randy Orton. All the other matches were fucking, I thought, really good.
I mean, what they did in the Bray Orton match was fine. It's just the booking that really kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like a spectacular match, but I mean, it didn't look like they didn't fuck anything up or anything like that. They just kind of like did their thing to move on to whatever they're doing next with the Fiend and Alexa.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we'll talk more about it once we get to night two, but it was, and I was actually rewatching it earlier just to kind of refresh my memory, and. Everything that they did in that match was fine. I mean, you know, it was a typical Fiend match, and then Orton doing his stuff. The only thing that really bothered me about it was obviously the end where I think Bray was going for Sister Abigail, and then all of a sudden Alexa Bliss has goo.
Goo.
She has black liquid expelling from her forehead, and for some reason the Fiend is just like, what's that? And then Orton RKOs him, and like, that's it. It's like, never mind the fact that Orton hit him with an RKO like last month and he got right back up and hit Orton with Sister Abigail. So, and also the fact that how many times has the Fiend been in a match where it's taken like, I mean, you know, the infamous Hell in a Cell pay-per-view that everybody fucking hated where it took 16 curb stomps to put the Fiend down and he still didn't get pinned. He like got the shit beat out of him and he like, kept getting up after everything, but no, one RKO, the most dangerous move in sports entertainment, was all it took to take the Fiend down. I'm drenched in sweat already thinking about that match. But before I get to we get to WrestleMania, I just wanted to briefly, because I don't want this podcast to be 4 hours long, I just wanted to briefly go over TakeOver Stand and Deliver, which was another, for the most part, really good show, both nights. Obviously, Pete Dunne and Kushida, they had a killer match, which Pete Dunne won and Kushida lost again.
Yeah.
Which, if you fast forward to this past week's NXT, Kushida wins the Cruiserweight title against Santos Escobar. So it's like, okay, same thing with like Rhea Ripley. He loses, he loses, he loses, he loses, and then he wins. It's like, okay, yeah, it's the element of surprise, sure, but it's like you have someone who isn't a very credible champion.
Yeah, I'm not big on Santos at all. I was not happy with him going over Jordan Devlin, because I'm like, when I watched that, I was like, hold the fuck on. I'm like, Santos was just like getting his ass beat by his whole crew just got like their ass beat by Karrion Kross just like a week ago.
Yeah.
And then you got Jordan Devlin, who, if you've been watching NXT UK, this dude's been having some like really good fucking matches and is like on a tear. And then you're just like, nope, we're going to put this guy over. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't really even care the fact, like, I didn't think the ladder gimmick was necessary. It just seemed like they just threw it in there just to be like, hey, we're having a ladder match to open up night two. And they did, like, maybe two or three things that were like, oh, that's right, this is a ladder match. And,
yeah. I mean, he took a hell of a bump through that ladder, though. I mean, that looked pretty brutal. Oh, I mean, you could tell the ladder was gimmicked, but, I mean, it was still, fuck, it's still a ladder.
I'm sure it didn't feel good going through.
No. But, so, yeah, Pete Dunne went over Kushida. What was the match after that? I probably should have had this pulled up.
Was it the gauntlet match?
It was the gauntlet. Yeah, that's right. So it started off with Leon Ruff and Isaiah Swerve Scott, and they just kind of went at it for a little bit. Hang on. That match was so long ago.
Well, I didn't even know that Toni Storm was on. She was on the dark match. Zoe Stark went over Toni Storm in the dark match on night one.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see. When I saw that, because I've only seen Zoe Stark a few times.
She's okay. She's really green still, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, like, from what I mean, I haven't seen, like, I think I've only seen parts of the matches that she's been in, because I don't always get a chance to watch NXT. But, I mean, she has potential.
Does she have a Creole lineage, like, background? Because I know she's from New Orleans. Is she supposed to be, like, Creole or something like that?
I don't even know what that is.
Like, the French Quarter, you know, like, it's Cajun slash, like, French, kind of.
Oh, I don't know.
You know Gambit from X-Men?
Yeah.
He's Creole.
Oh, okay. I know, like, nothing about Zoe Stark besides the fact that I've seen some of her stuff, and she's not bad.
I'm not saying she's bad. I just think she's really good. I'm kind of surprised that she went over Toni Storm, because I think Toni Storm's, like, one of the best female workers that they have on their roster right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, whatever. It is what it is.
So, yeah, let's see. So, Isaiah Scott and, where is he? Leon Ruff started. I think Bronson Reed came in after that.
Yeah, he was third.
Okay.
I think, or was it Cameron Grimes that was third?
No, it wasn't Cameron Grimes. He was third. Doesn't matter. Anyway, the people involved in the match were Swerve Scott, Leon Ruff, Bronson Reed, Cameron Grimes, LA Knight, and Dexter Lumis. And Bronson Reed, they really showed off Bronson Reed's, like, you know, his power. Like, he's clearly they're pushing him as, like, a monster, like this big, like, strong guy, which he is. And he was basically, like, and it didn't help that it was Leon Ruff and Swerve, who don't weigh that much to begin with. But it was still pretty impressive, and that was when I messaged you. I was like, why don't you like Bronson Reed again?
No, I didn't hate on Bronson Reed. I was just like, because when they were pushing him in his comeback, I'd never heard of him before. I was like, it's Bronson fucking Reed!
Okay. Yeah, he was Jonah Rock.
Yeah.
On the Indies. And I had seen some of his stuff. Was he in TNA?
I think that's Ace Romero.
No, I know, but I could
have
sworn
Jonah Rock was in PWG, I believe, for a
maybe
little
that,
bit.
Maybe I might be thinking of PWG. And then who cares about LA Knight or Dexter Lumis?
LA Knight, Rock Light, pretty much.
Pretty
he
much.
Even came out doing this, like, he comes out, like, it's basically they just pulled The Rock from, like, 2004, and were like, hey, you want to run this gimmick, run it back, we'll just call you LA Knight instead.
2004, when he was on his way out of the business.
Let me just say this, though. He does a damn good impression of The Rock, probably better than what I've said, but it's like, that's all he's doing. I'm like, it's like, this is, oh, you're standing out by basically impersonating somebody from the Attitude Era, I guess.
I mean, I guess. It's like, if there's one thing that NXT is in dire need of, it's fucking Eli Drake.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus.
As soon as I say him coming, I was like, Eli Drake. I'm just happy, because I could have, I was like, dude, he's probably going over in this fucking thing, man. They pushed him, like, hyped him all up and everything. And I was just happy he didn't fucking win this match.
And to everyone's surprise, no, it's not everyone's surprise. The thing that it doesn't bother me, because I don't, to be perfectly honest, I don't mean this to be mean. I don't give a shit about LA Knight. Who's that?
Apparently somebody else doesn't like LA Knight either.
So he comes in, and then didn't he, like, he won his first match, I think. I don't even remember who it was against. And then his second match, like, he lost. Or did he lose his first match?
I don't even remember, to tell you the truth. I
know he's on, like, kind of a losing streak, because he's only won, like, one match. No, he did win his first match. I don't remember who it was against, though. But then he won one match, and then he lost, and then he lost, and then he lost, and then he lost. And, like, he hasn't won a match, I think, since his first match. So it's like, they bring this dude in who is, like, a TNA, essentially, reject. And they're putting him over as this dude who is...
He beat August Gray.
Oh.
That was his debut match. I don't even know who that... I'm sure I know who it is if I see him,
I think his name was Austin Gray. I'm talking, like, months and months ago. But then Austin Theory came back to NXT, so they had to change his name to August Gray. He's a weird-looking dude.
It's Anthony Green.
Yeah,
that dude, I remember him from Evolve. He does that whole, like, he's like the retro gimmick. He wears the fanny pack and all that stuff. Yeah, okay, yeah. That's who it was. All right.
They made a big deal about him on, because he won a number one contenders match on 205 Live for a cruiserweight title shot. But it was, like, months ago.
Yeah.
And then they never did anything with it. And then all of a sudden on NXT, they're like, well, Austin Gray is going to get his NXT Cruiserweight title match tonight.
It's like, what?
And I was like, the one that was, like, 5 months ago? And then he went in, and it was, like, a squash. And I was like, all right, cool.
He does some cool stuff. I just know him from what I've seen from the Evolve shows that I've watched that were, like, I think, the like 2019 or something like that. Yeah.
I think he wrestled on 205 Live this week, too. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So Bronson Reed won the gauntlet match, and I didn't see the whole thing, but I did watch when the first three guys came in, Swerve, Ruff, and then Bronson. And everything looked great.
They all worked really hard.
Yeah. Walter versus Tommaso Ciampa.
You can't finish a match with a chop! You can't! This is dumb. Boo!
-5 stars. One of the worst matches I've ever seen. No, this match was a work of art, this match was. The thing that I liked about it, and a lot of people didn't like this for some reason, was it looked, and I mean this in a nice way, it looked really rough around the edges.
I think it was supposed to be that. I think that's what they were going for.
I think so, too. Because, like, and what I mean by that is there were parts of the match where you could tell, like, Walter was going for something and Ciampa was going for, like, something else. And they kind of, like, there was a little bit of miscommunication, but they just kind of, like, went into right into, like, something else.
It looked like they were doing a work shoot.
Yeah, exactly. It looked like a legit,
like that.
Yeah, it looked like a legit, like, let's call it in the ring, brother, you know? And, like, I thought the psychology was great. I thought the storytelling of the match was great. When Walter got Ciampa on the outside and he leaned him up against the announce table and he went for that overhand chop, and Ciampa moved and he, like, split the top thing in the announce table right in half. And then he started working on his hand. I was like, psychology in wrestling? Like, I haven't seen this in a fortnight, you know? And, like, they just beat the fuck out of each other. And Walter powerbombed Ciampa pretty much right on his bad neck.
Oh, yeah.
Which, ugh, that looked... And then, he powerbombed it, like, right on his neck, and then he went to pin him, and he put all of his weight on Ciampa.
He did the what is that? Kawada used... That was Kawada-style powerbomb, where he just kind of, like, puts all this weight on top, like the sliding. I forget what they call it, but it's like, yeah, that's like a the Japanese power bomb right there. And
yeah,
I mean, it was, dude, it was just one of, you know, I love these kind of matches. This is what I'm all about and everything. But it's just like, I couldn't, when you were telling me that people were pissed about the finish, I'm like, yeah, never mind that Walter just fucking kills him with a Kobashi-ish, you know, suplex right before the chop to the throat. You know, it's like, Jesus Christ. And not to mention, this is what fucking got Walter over to begin with, because had Walter not had the chops that he had, people would just look at him like, well, he's just another big guy that hits really hard. Yeah. Those chops are what put that fucking dude on. I mean, I love Walter. I think he's awesome.
Yeah.
But to, like, casual viewers, that's what you're watching for. You're like, oh, fuck, this guy chops, like, he just chops right through these people pretty much. Like, he knocks his whole astral, he's going to astral project this fucker's soul right out of his body pretty much.
I mean, it's like, that's what got people, I mean, this is a weird comparison, but I mean, that's what got people into Goldberg was like, oh, we're waiting for the spear and the jackhammer. Yeah. And it's like, with Walter, it's like, we're waiting for that fucking chop.
Yeah.
Dude. And you know that when he's chopping these dudes, it's not a workshop.
No.
He's fucking rearing back, and it's an open hand, like, right here. And it's like, as soon as he hits that chop, I still remember the very first episode of NXT UK. I forget who Walter worked. It was just some indie dude that they brought in. And the crowd, you could tell the crowd was just waiting for that fucking chop, because it was like this skinny dude. I don't remember his name. And everyone's just like, somebody going to die tonight. Oh, and then Walter just reared back and whoosh, hit him with that chop. And then I think he gave him a giant ass big boot and pinned him. So, but yeah, that's why people like Walter, because he's a big motherfucker. He hits really hard.
It was Jack Stars. Jack Stars seems to be the guy that people debut against to be put over.
For against NXT. Walter?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And he's pasty-ass white, so I'm sure those chops really shone through.
Oh, yeah.
They came up.
Yeah. And then speaking of showing, I mean, Ciampa was hitting him just as hard. I mean, Walter's chest was bloody.
Yeah, that meme. I know this sounds really weird, but send me a picture of some white toast with some strawberry jam. Say no more, fam. It's a picture of Walter after the match.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that match, it was beautiful. I mean, I adored it with, like, all of my heart.
Yeah,
and,
it was great. I loved it.
Yeah, it was great. And then the triple threat tag match for the NXT vacant NXT tag team titles, MSK versus Grizzled Young Veterans versus Legado del Fantasma. I knew what this match was going to be. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought that Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza looked the best they've looked in months.
Yeah, I wasn't too excited for them. I was just like, I honestly was just like, why can't we just have MSK and the Grizzled Young Vets? Honestly.
No, I know.
I was like, because Grizzled Young Vets, man, those are my guys right now as a tag team. Like, I knew MSK was going over in the Dusty Classic, man, but fuck, dude, the Grizzled Young Vets, they just like, that was one of those, they showed the fuck up for that match, man. And they, I just feel like these guys are like total workhorses.
Oh, yeah. I mean, James Drake, I mean, fuck, man. He's like, I think he's always been like a solid worker. I mean, I haven't watched any of his stuff prior to NXT UK, but every time he's in a match, he works his fucking ass off. And then Zach Gibson, same thing. Like when he won the second NXT UK tournament, I was kind of like, I wasn't really impressed with him. I knew he kind of labeled his career after Nigel McGuinness, and he like copied a lot of his moves and stuff like that. But I was like, why did he win the tournament? Like, that's kind of weird. But then, like, once they put him with James Drake, I was like, God damn, they're a great tag team.
These are the two, because I remember, like, I originally, when Progress first put up its network or whatever that they had, I didn't last with it very long, because I only knew a little bit about Progress. I wanted to see what it was all about, but...
Oh, it was World Wrestling Network.
Yeah, and I remember just watching, I was like, why the fuck is Progress so, like, over? Because I was watching it, and there's a lot of it just seemed like young-ass kids who, like first year in the ring and stuff, are super green, really botchy, but, like, these two guys were, like, because I know they've been long stay with Progress, but I remember watching, like, remembering these two guys, because then when I saw them on NXT UK, I was like, oh, okay, because I knew that they were really, they were good, you know? Like, but, like, I'm just, I want to see them, like, keep I just want to see them in, like, you know, against great tag teams, because it's like, I think you're going to get a great fucking match from them no matter who you put them in the ring with.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see a rematch between Grizzled Young Veterans and MSK. I mean, it's a good contrast of styles, because you've got MSK, who were the high flyers, the flippy do boys, and you've got Grizzled Young Veterans, who are the more grounded, like, just beat your ass on the canvas type guys. So that's always kind of like a good contrast of styles. So, I mean, if they announced, you know, whatever the next takeover is, if they're going to do a rematch between these two, I'm fucking all for it. MSK, I mean, like I said, they are what they are. I knew what they were going to do going into the match. I mean, Wesley looked fucking unbelievable. Nash Carter, he did some really cool stuff too. That jump that he does out of, I think Wesley gets down on all fours and then Carter like jumps off of him and just basically jumps to the outside. It's the scariest fucking thing I've ever seen. But MSK, they went over, they won the tag team titles, and I'm sure whenever Danny Burch comes back, we'll probably get a rematch or a match with him and Oney Lorcan versus MSK as well. And then Raquel Gonzalez versus Io Shirai for the women's title. This match was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a great match.
I mean, I know a lot of people still consider Raquel to be really green. I think she looks fucking great.
Yeah.
She didn't botch anything. She was in the right spot for all of Io's moves. She hit everything great. Everything that she did looked really good. That fucking dive that Io did off of the top of the stage. It's funny because WWE, when I say WWE, I mean like Raw and SmackDown. They don't do this very often, but sometimes they'll do a replay of something and they'll do it like two times and you're just like, okay, I get it. I've seen it. I know what it is. They fucking showed a replay of that dive like 15 times. And every time they did it, I was like, I want to see that again. I want to see that again. And did you see how she landed on her knee?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was like, she just shattered her kneecap. Like, oh, my God. Like, it was bad enough that she has a bad neck, but she, like, her kneecap is gone. But apparently she was fine. And I have no earthly idea how she was just, she just kind of like, obviously she sold it, but then she just got right back up and they went back in the ring and just, like, finished the match. That was fucking insane. But Raquel won the match with that. It's like a choke slam power bomb.
From No Mercy.
Which one?
From 64 Days. Forget what they called it, but I know. Yeah, I know. I hit that on Kelly once off of one. I forget what it's called, but it's just like
it's like a choke slam power bomb type.
It's like a one legged. It's a catch power bomb or whatever. Yeah. It's almost like a catch suplex, but you just lift them up and then power bomb them.
Yeah. So she won that. I thought the match was great. She's the new, I mean, obviously, you know, Io has been, or she was women's champion for like, I think it was like 300 days or something like that. And she beat like everybody. So as much as I love Io Shirai, it was time for somebody else to win the title. So I didn't have a problem with that. And Raquel has improved drastically since she first came in. So I don't have a problem with that either. So, and then night two, for some reason, was Killian Dane and Drake Maverick versus Breezango for the number one contenders match for the tag team titles. I didn't watch it, but they went
dark,
over.
It was a dark match, so.
Yeah, it was like a pre-show match or whatever. But Killian Dane and Drake Maverick went over. I don't know why they even bothered bringing Breezango back to NXT. Because I think they've only won like maybe two matches since they came back. And they put the tag titles on them for like 2 weeks. Weird. And then we kind of already talked about it already, but Santos Escobar versus Jordan Devlin to unify the Cruiserweight titles. Like you said, why this was a ladder match when these guys haven't really had a feud to begin with. Like, the only thing tying them was Jordan Devlin was the Cruiserweight champion before the pandemic, and then he was stuck over in the UK, and they needed to have a Cruiserweight title for NXT, so they held a tournament to determine a interim champion, which Santos Escobar won, and they just kind of like did their own thing for months, and then suddenly we got Jordan Devlin on NXT, and suddenly that These two motherfuckers are feuding now.
There can be only one.
There can be only one. And then Shawn Michaels has to, like, walk out and just, like, throw a ladder in the ring. And he, like, tips his hat. And it's like, oh, it's Shawn Michaels. He made that really famous WrestleMania ladder match against Razor Ramon. He knows the thing or two about ladder matches. And it's like,
all right.
Okay. thanks for the help, Michael. And so, I kind of wanted Jordan Devlin to win also because he's just been like, he's been working his ass off. I'm not super, I don't dislike Santos Escobar as much as you do, but I'm not big on him either. Like he doesn't really do anything for me. He's just kind of like a, I don't know. He works that like, he almost works like a heavyweight Hispanic WWE star,
yeah.
But like he's a cruiserweight.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't really know why he works the way he does. He's clearly a very talented dude, but like he doesn't really do anything for me. But so Santos Escobar wins the title and unifies the cruiserweight titles. And then it was Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart versus Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. Yeah.
Sorry to say it, because I like Ember and Shotzi, and it's just, Indy does, like, we all know how we feel about Candice LeRae on this show.
Clearly, it's just you and me and no one else in the world.
I don't get it. I don't know. It is what it is. And then Indy Hartwell, I don't even know how the hell she made it up to the main roster, because she's just not, I don't think she's good at all, but that's
because she's tall.
Okay. So is Raquel.
I know, but
Raquel's good.
Good, and Indy Hartwell is not. It was what it was. I didn't really care for this
match. She's Australian. That's probably why.
It was what it was. I didn't really care for the match. It was, there was a couple of botches. I know, Ember went for the, Eclipse, which is her diving like stunner move. And I think she went to go hit Candice and Indy at the same time. And she like completely missed, but they sold it anyway. Shotzi continues her streak of doing something that's going to kill her on TakeOver. She went for a dive and nobody caught her.
Shotzi the Nihilist. I believe in nothing.
Yeah. They retain the NXT Women's Tag Team titles.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah, whatever. And then Johnny Gargano versus Bronson Reed for the NXT title. God, I don't like Johnny Gargano.
I think a lot of people have really soured on Gargano because it's almost like it's the same formula for every match he's in now. Like, it's just the same shit.
Well,
like,
for me, it started when he was main eventing every single fucking takeover against either Tommaso Ciampa or...
Adam Cole
or Andrade.
Oh, yeah.
And his matches are all the fucking same. I hate the way he sells. I hate how obvious it is when he slaps his leg. I hate that 1,000-yard stare he does as the way he sells. Like, I just... God, it drives me insane. And everybody, like... He, what was it? He, I think he was, like, the first... What match was it? I think it was him versus Adam Cole. Whatever takeover it was. It was when there were still crowds. But he was, like, the first WWE superstar to get a 5-star match since, like, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels or something like that. And I was like... Dave.
Oh.
Jesus.
Will.
God damn it.
God damn it. So I'm watching fucking NXT.
And she's got goo coming out of her face.
Irredeemable.
And I know there are people out there who like Johnny Gargano, and that's fine, but I can't fucking stand him. And I don't even like, it's not even like... Like, his character that he does now, where he's just, like, insane, it's, like, it's fucking dumb. Like...
Insanely talented, you mean?
Wait. There we go. I was really hoping Bronson Reed would win, but... And obviously, there was a lot of interference from Austin Theory and things like that. For some reason, Bronson Reed ripped his shirt off and just, like, stared at him.
Okay. So I'm watching fucking Gargano and Bronson Reed.
And it was like Austin Theory's, like, looking at, I think, Gargano or something. And he turns around and Bronson Reed's just there. Dive. And he just, like, rips his shirt off.
It was when, dude, Bronson goes to dive on both of them, and fucking Gargano just throws, like, Theory in the way, and he takes this fucking 400-pound dude torpedoing out of the ring onto him, and then, like, he grabs him, and then he's just standing there, and I'm like, what's he gonna do? Rip! Oh, this God, is a good time to flex my pecs, you know? It's just like, what the f... Like...
Irredeemable!
What's going on, guys? Like, what's with the awkward eye contact after ripping off the man's shirt? You know, yeah. It's just like, what's going on here? You know,
like, okay.
I'm telling you right now, Austin Theory is going to be the one that beats Gargano for that belt. It's going to happen.
You heard it here first, folks.
It's just, he's the fucking, the goof, you know, he's the shaggy of the group, you know, everybody, he's the idiot, but I think they're going to do with what I've been saying they should have been doing with Jey Uso, with Roman Reigns for the longest time, where he's just going to get fed up with being his, like, being, like, the guy that takes all the damage and shit for stuff and kind of like his fall guy. And he's going to kind of, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to take on Gargano. And then, you know, they're going to turn him face, which I'm sure the crowd is going to eat that shit up because he's got the kind of gimmick. If he's a face, they're going to love it. And he's going to be Gargano for the belt. I think that's what they're going to do.
He's a fucking goober. But yeah,
he's Austin Theory, Joe. Haven't you watched any of his Evolve matches?
I have a theory. It's stupid. Wait a minute. Stalling for time as Seth pulls up a...
announcing the arrival of the Earl of Lemon Grab.
This castle is in unacceptable condition! Unacceptable!
Might as well program that into your little soundboard.
I was going to, but I forgot. So then it was Gargano won. And then it was Karrion Kross versus... Wow, that match is longer than I thought.
What, Gargano match?
No, Kross and Balor.
I was going to say, I was like, you're surprised a Gargano match went long?
I'm surprised it didn't go as long as Kyle O'Reilly. 16
minutes, that's short for a Gargano match.
No, it is.
I was like, they pulled out the hook and said, oh, wrap it up, Johnny!
Somebody saw the times for Gargano and Reed and Colin O'Reilly, and it was Shawn Michaels with his lazy eye, and he's like, "Oh, this one's going 40 minutes. This one's going 16 minutes."
It's like, what the?
Gargano's like, "Well, I got an easy night tonight."
I think they didn't want Gargano killing Bronson Reed with a heart attack or something. Nothing against Bronson Reed, but you know,
I mean,
it's
to
like,
be fair, you could tell the last probably 5 minutes Reed was blown up.
Yeah,
but he looked good early on. But that's that's the best I can say about that match.
He's good. I enjoy him. Like, I'm not hating on him.
Okay. And then Karrion Kross versus Finn Balor.
This match seemed fucking short to me. Like you said, when you look at the time, it's like I was watching it live time. I was like, man, it just seemed like it kind of ended all of a sudden.
I think it was kind of the pacing of the match, because it started off with Balor kind of like testing Kross, I guess, and it was a lot of like slow, you know, like, you know, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like, just like testing each other, Balor getting him in like headlocks and like
feeling each other out.
That's what I wanted. And then, like, you know, as the match kept going on, you could tell Kross was, well, you couldn't tell, you can tell because that was the story of the match, but he was getting pissed, and like he kind of like started like, you know, powering Balor around, throwing him around, and then finally hit that, was it the Saito?
Yeah.
And then he pinned him. So actually that, I kind of figured Kross was going to win, but I was at the same time still kind of surprised, because now he's a 2-time NXT champion, you know, and there's only been, I think, well, he's now the third person to hold the title twice, Nakamura and the released Samoa Joe.
The artist formerly known as Samoa Joe.
Well, he gets to keep his name, thankfully. Yeah, I mean, it was, my expectations for the match were kind of low, because it's Karrion Kross. I knew Balor was probably going to carry him to a good match, but it was better than I expected it to be, so I guess that's a win. And then this fucking...
I didn't even finish this match, man. What's funny is, like, the general consensus is, I think a lot of people hated this match because of how long it went. I think they, like...
People either hated this match or they...
I didn't see anybody loving it, that's for sure. I mean, people liked it, but, well, I didn't see anybody praising the shit out of it.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. People either hated this match or they liked it but felt it was too long.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it, but it went way too fucking long. It went 40 minutes and 19 seconds. Yeah. And by the 20-minute mark, I was like, wrap it up, boys. Some of us got to work in the morning. And it just went on for fucking ever. And the crowd died. It was just like they got stuff and hit each other with stuff. And Cole was yelling at him. O'Reilly was yelling at him. Cole hit O'Reilly with a TV. O'Reilly kept going for some move where he wrapped a chain around his leg, but the chain kept falling off.
A lot of kicks to him and stuff.
Like, yeah, and it was okay. It was really awkward. Adam Cole's new theme music sucks. And it was just the only thing, if Adam Cole had won this match, then I would have hated this match. But the right person won. Kyle O'Reilly won. Okay, great. If it was half the length that it was, I think it would have been pretty good.
Yeah.
But, and I don't blame the guys. I mean, they're obviously just doing what they're told to do. Everything they did looked fine. I mean, nothing was botched to an amazing degree. Everything looked snug. I mean, they hit each other with fucking everything. They fell through the ramp. It was just way too fucking long. So, I mean, you can have, and that was my issue with that fucking War Games match from last year that just would never fucking end. I mean, you remember how many, like, your phone was like,
it's still fucking going.
It's like, oh, I guess Joe doesn't like the War Games match.
Yeah, when I start hearing it going off like that, I'm like, well, something's not going to Joe's liking.
Is it a Monday, or is it a Friday, or is it a Saturday, or Sunday?
It's Sunday. Oh, shenanigans be afoot.
Yeah, so, I mean, they worked hard. It was just way too fucking long, so it was what it was. And I anticipate that we're going to get a rematch at the next TakeOver. It'll be an Iron Man match.
And that'll go about 75 minutes because it'll have like four overtimes.
Yeah, and I'll fucking throw my TV out the window if that happens. Okay, so WrestleMania. WrestleMania Saturday and WrestleMania Sunday.
WrestleMania 37.
37, night one Saturday, and WrestleMania 37, night two Sunday. As I predicted a few weeks ago, my prediction was that they were going to either open night one with, initially I was thinking Riddle and Sheamus because, you know, it's Matt Riddle and, you know, bro and stuff like that. Or they were going to open it with Lashley and McIntyre because that just seems like, you know, McIntyre is such like a white meat baby face and he does everything for the WWE universe. And I was like, that'd be a fucking perfect way to open WrestleMania. And then they ended up announcing that Lashley and McIntyre was going to open WrestleMania. I was like, fuck yeah, that's awesome. That's a great way to open the show for in front of a crowd for the first time in over a year. And it was funny because, I was out at dinner with my mom and brother on Saturday. And I'm kind of like, it's like 4:55. And I'm like, okay, like, I want to see, like, I hate to be that guy with his phone out at dinner. But I was like, I want to see how the crowd reacts. I want to see what the stadium looks like. I want to see, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the show starts and it gets rained out. And I was like, I swear to fucking God, if this show gets canceled because of rain, somebody's going to die. And so, like, you know, Vince does an introduction. Welcome to Rockin' WrestleMania. And then the show gets rained out, and then I didn't see this because the reception inside Tahoe Joe's fucking sucks, but they're stalling for time. They're doing a bunch of promos, yeah. And like, which apparently I didn't watch any of them, but I heard the promos were fucking great because they weren't scripted. So it's, you know, just just shows how talented the roster is when they don't have a script in front of them. So, but and so the show finally starts and McIntyre comes out and he looks like he's about to like just cry because like he hears live real people and like everybody's chanting Drew and stuff like that. And when he comes out, I can see rain coming down still. And I was like, man, wouldn't it fucking suck if they had to call off the show in the middle of this match? Like that would be such a fucking bummer. But thankfully it didn't happen. Opening match, Lashley versus McIntyre for the WWE title. Really good match. I mean, I don't think anybody really expected anything different. I wasn't really expecting Lashley to retain. a lot of people thought that a lot of people hated this match because he won.
Yeah, I was really bothered by that. It was the same people, you know, that last year were bitching about not enough black athletes are getting over and WWE, and then now it's just because their guy doesn't go over, they want to be pissed. I'm like,
well, I think the a lot. I mean, I was disappointed that McIntyre didn't win, but
well, they set it up. It's gonna. I think he's going over at SummerSlam.
Oh, no, absolutely. But once I kind of like sat down and thought about it, it made sense to me why he didn't win, because if he would have beat Lashley for the title, there would have been four different WWE champions in less than a month. Mm-hmm. It would have been McIntyre, Miz, Lashley, McIntyre. And it just like that really, really devalues the championship.
Yeah.
So it made sense to me once I thought about it, but I think most people were just like, it's the first show in front of fans. You want to open the crowd with something that'll make everyone happy. McIntyre should win. And it's like, or they can have a really, really good match.
Yeah. Which then, they did. It was really good. It's probably one of Lashley's best matches he's had in a while. Like,
I think so. Yeah.
I think the only problem was I think MVP missed his cue at the end when he was supposed, like, Matt kind of stops and he like looks. And then MVP's, I think he was supposed to get a little bit more involved than he did, and he just kind of like forgot about it. But
I think he legitimately has a bad knee. So probably, I'm wondering if he tried to get on the apron, but he couldn't, so he's just like, hey Drew, or whatever.
But like we were like talking earlier, it's like I think a lot of the booking for WrestleMania, it seemed like they were really catering more to with the Peacock deal, more so to first time viewers than, you know, giving people who have been watching, you know, for however long or through the pandemic, blah 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 blah, whatever, some closure to some of these matches. And it would like I get it to an extent for the business point, but I also get a little annoyed. And there was another like. I think what they're going to do is they're going to set it up, and I think it's going to be a submission rules match. It's going to be because McIntyre was working the double wrist lock a lot in the match. And then
he went for the Kimura like twice.
Yeah.
And then, did he go for a triangle? Or did I just imagine
that? Might have.
Maybe he did. I can't remember.
And then obviously Lashley with his, you know, the full Nelson and everything. And then Lashley has the, you know, I think he's still undefeated in MMA. I think he's like 10-0 or something like that. So I think they're going to do, it's going to be like a shoot style matches where McIntyre is finally going to go over, I think.
That'd be pretty cool. I'd be down for them to do like a MMA rules match or something like that. That'd be pretty dope. Yeah, I mean, it was a good match. The pacing of the match seemed kind of weird because now that I think about it, the pacing of a lot of the matches on WrestleMania felt really not off, but they didn't seem structured like a typical WWE style match. Mm. Like, normally you wouldn't see McIntyre do the, you know, those flip over belly to bellies like four times in a match. Like he did it like legitimately, I think three or four times. Mm-hmm. And they did a lot of spots like multiple times. So it just seemed really bizarre to me. I'm not really complaining too much. It just seemed really weird to me, but, yeah. So the finish of the match was Drew was going for the Claymore, MVP attempted to interfere or, distract Drew. And Drew went for the Claymore. Lashley moved, got him in the Hurt Lock, and he did not tap, but he blacked out. Yeah, so Lashley retained the title. Really good match. I mean, I knew it was going to be good, and it was good. So
yeah, was
my
really
expectations
good.
Were met, so there you go. Oh, God. So this tag team turmoil match.
I didn't even watch it. I just heard that it was so bad, it was entertaining.
Here are the highlights. When Mandy and Dana were going down the ramp, Mandy slipped and fell on her ass. That was about it. Oh, the other highlight was Ruby Riott pinned, I want to say, Dana, and the announcer called it as the Riott Squad were eliminated. And then Michael Cole was like, it was Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke that were eliminated. And the announcer's like, correction! Mandy Rose has been eliminated! And I was like, you fucking idiots. God damn it. They don't even look alike. Like, have you seen Ruby Riott? God. And then Natty and Tamina came in, and I believe Tamina won with the Superfly Splash, but I could be wrong. Yeah. It was sloppy. And I don't recall, as far as the in-ring stuff, I don't recall any botches, but I may have missed something. It wasn't good. It was just sloppy and nobody really did anything very interesting. So whatever. The other highlight was Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan were dressed as the Joker and Harley Quinn. So that was the other highlight. Probably my favorite match.
Yeah,
Cesaro versus Seth Rollins.
Just because I've been on that Cesaro, man, you know, I've been on that bandwagon. I've been a fan of Cesaro since.
We're in the Cesaro section?
Yeah, we were like the only, because that one PWG show we went to where, card subject to change too, because hella people couldn't make it, because I think they worked Ring of Honor the night before or something. But I remember they moved it to where Super Dragon and Davey Richards ended up defending their tag titles. Again, they did the open challenge, and then out came Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli, and like people were like, hey, and we were the only ones just like, hey, we were hella popping for Cesaro.
Yeah.
And even he was like, because they were supposed to be the heels, so to speak, and he's trying to get us to simmer down. He's giving us the simmer down, but even he's like trying not to smile and stuff and everything. It's just like, dude, because when he was on the indies, the dude was like probably the best base worker to work with. Like, I showed you that clip of him when he basically decapitated Ricochet when Ricochet was still like 19 with that throw up in the air, God. European uppercut. Dude, he had a match with Sami Zayn in Ring of Honor. I forget which. It was probably like 2005. Man, it was just like, he's just one of those guys that's like, he's a phenomenal athlete. And I've been a fan of this guy since the first time I seen him. When I remember I heard about Chris Hero finding some guy in WXW and he basically took him under his wing. I was like, oh, okay, let me check. And I remember seeing him in a picture and I'm like, his outfit was just like, he looked like he was like almost like Erwin R. Scheister. Like he had this.
Oh, that's right.
Button,
yeah.
He had the button up collar shirt with the suspenders and everything, yeah. And his sleeves were cut off. And he had the receding hairline, but with the real long hair. I was like, this guy? And then I started watching some of his matches. I was like, dude, this guy's really fucking good.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to now, man, I was just like so fucking happy he got his moment at Mania. I was just like, thank you. I've been saying for years, this guy is one of the top fucking five wrestlers on their roster, man. It's just like, give him a shot. And people, well, he doesn't have people don't really connect with him. I'm like, fuck, the guy is a phenomenal athlete. He puts on great matches with everyone. And it's like,
go back to fucking 2016 when the Cesaro section was at like its apex.
Yeah.
And like, he was the most over dude on every episode of Raw. But like, he has an accent and he doesn't talk that great.
It's like, okay, do what they did with Brock. I mean, Brock's still like, I mean, he could do decent promos, but it's like they gave him Heyman. Do that. Give him somebody, a good speaker, a manager, something that'll fit with his gimmick or something.
Well, they did when he was with,
Hagar or Sammy.
We
the People.
But he did, they did team him with Heyman for a minute.
They did. Yeah. I don't remember that.
This was, oh God, maybe 2015, 2014, somewhere around
Christ.
There. And I don't remember what happened with that. I think Cesaro turned on Heyman and then like he floundered. So
I just do. And a couple of times I got to meet him when he worked Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. He's just like stand up guy, like just great dude, like really funny, really cool to talk. We need to just chat with, shoot the shit, and like really appreciative, like, you know, people coming up to him just telling him, like, man, that was great man. Like, he was like legit, very genuine about it. It's not like, you know, old fucking Mark's out there, you know, like, dude just like appreciates putting on good show, you know, a good show for the fans and stuff. You could tell this guy's a legit fan before he got into the business, and I'm just happy he finally got it, because the match was fucking great. Him and Seth put on a great match. I mean, I wasn't surprised it was great. I figured it would, but
it was like watching that match made me just so fucking happy because for several reasons, obviously, besides the fact that it was just a great fucking match. It's been, I think, 9 years since Cesaro made his main roster debut. And it's like, I mean, he's been at WrestleMania before. I mean, he won the first Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not like he never had a WrestleMania moment.
But this was
like
a singles, you know,
yeah,
like
no,
actually,
I know what you mean. But like, so he had his first like singles WrestleMania match against Seth Rollins, who is like one of their best wrestlers in like recent memory. They were even like listing off all of Rollins' accolades. He's like a 4-time world champion. He won the Royal Rumble. He main events at WrestleMania. He, you know, blah, 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 so on and so forth.
Is this promotion paid for by Seth Rollins' friends? Dude, I popped for that. I thought that was hilarious.
That was fucking hilarious.
The political promo before. Paid for by Seth Rollins' fans. Our friends.
Friends of Seth Rollins. So anyway, they were basically putting over how successful that Rollins was in his WWE career and what it would do for Cesaro if he could beat him. And so they're working over he's working over Cesaro's, I think, knee. Was it his knee or his arm? I can't remember. No, it was his arm.
Yeah, it was his shoulder, wasn't it, or something like that?
His shoulder or his arm. But because at one point Cesaro went for the swing, but he only got to 9, but he had to drop Rollins because it's like his arm or his shoulder gave out. And Rollins hit like a – I have no fucking clue how he did this. He hit like a corkscrew midair frog splash, but he like turned 360. Splash. Yeah, I was like, how the fuck did he do that? And he hit it like perfectly. And the finish of the match was Rollins goes for the stomp. As he gets on Cesaro's shoulder, Cesaro pushes him off, gives him like a snug-ass uppercut, and then does the UFO, which I popped for big time. I was like, fuck yeah, that's awesome. And I don't forget how many rotations he does, but he basically just like throws fucking Rollins down, goes for another swing, hits 23 rotations, hits the neutralizer and pins him. I was like, a billion stars. Oh. 1 billion.
1 billion.
I fucking loved it. And it's so awesome that Cesaro finally got his singles WrestleMania match.
They better do something with him, man.
He's already getting a match against Roman Reigns for the Universal title. I don't anticipate he'll win.
He won't.
But I'm sure that will be a really great match, too. So, fucking whatever.
Hopefully he gets closure, unlike Roman's feud with Kevin Owens, which just kind of went nowhere. And
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Four big matches leading in that still didn't fucking give any closure, and then move on.
Yeah, you got your phone.
We're gonna have Roman work, semi retired Edge and quarter retired Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. No, it's gonna be Cesaro versus Roman Reigns, and then Daniel Bryan's gonna be at it. And it'll be a triple threat match. Oh my god. So then after that, it was AJ and Omos versus the New Day for the Raw Tag Team titles. It was fine. There was nothing wrong with it. It was basically a match to get Omos over, and that's basically what happened. It was AJ working majority of the match. Story of the match is AJ's trying to tag in Omos, but the New Day keep cutting off the ring.
We're cutting the ring off!
Yeah, as Xavier screamed out loud. And it was finally, it was really weird. Like at one point, Kofi tags in Xavier, and Xavier is going up to the top rope, and then AJ is just kind of like sitting there staring at Xavier, and Xavier staring at him, and then AJ turns around and looks at Omos, and then he looks back at Xavier, and Xavier is looking at AJ, and I was like, why don't you just get down?
Or dive on him. Out of the way or something. It's almost like they missed their, like there was a miscommunication for that.
It was really weird. I was like, I understand what's trying to be accomplished here, but it's like, The one part of me is like, you could easily just like either jump down and attack AJ, or you can jump on him and then attack him so he can't tag in Omos, but whatever, what do I know? So then AJ tags in Omos, and he basically destroys Xavier and Kofi.
Omos has to go, you kick like a bitch, and then the production team's like, oh shit, and they move on.
So
I laughed at that part. I was like, because they cut to like Omos, like a close up on his face. He's like, you kick like a bitch. And they instantly like cut away after he says bitch.
They missed. There's a few different times on both shows where somebody like said something and they're like, oh shit. And they went to go like bleep it out, but they were like a second too late. And then Omos hits Kofi with a. Essentially just like a slam.
I thought he was hitting backbreakers on him.
Well, he had a backbreaker on Xavier, and then he hit a backbreaker on Kofi, and then he like hoisted Kofi up in like a, it was like not like a double choke slam, but he basically like picked him up underneath his arms and then just slammed him down, and then AJ told him to pin him with one foot, and he pinned him. And
just like weird. I was like, man, that like, I remember messages like 3/4 of that match was literally AJ just being cut, like, and it wasn't even like anything high intensity. Is just basic, like, 101, cut the ring off stuff. And then as soon as Omos got tagged in, it was over. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, nothing against Omos. I just felt like it was kind of a letdown. Like, when you got AJ and the New Day in a match, it's just, you know, you got Kofi and Xavier Woods. There's a certain level of, I guess, like, not quality, but just, like, you know, intensity to a match that you think is going to be in there. And I was just kind of like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever.
Kind of a cooler match, cooler type match, I guess. I don't know. I mean.
And then after that, it was Braun Strowman versus Shane McMahon. In, like, the most unnecessary WrestleMania match.
I'm telling you, man. I'm like, why do we keep booking Shane? And, like, everybody's like, oh, man, well, you know, when Shane's in a match at Mania, something crazy's going to happen. I'm like, why don't we just give Shane McMahon? Why don't they just go, hey, why don't you just be Shane-O? And you go out there and do Steve-O shit. Hey, well, WWE Universe, I'm Shane-O, and this is WrestleMania. And then just have him jump off the fucking blimp that's, like, over the arena or some shit, and he comes crashing down into a shark tank or something. I don't know. Because that's what it is. It's like, what's Shane going to do this time? Granted, this bump was, like, more subtle compared to, you know, him falling off the top of the Hell in the Cell, but whatever.
I mean, it was still pretty fucking, like, it wasn't like, no, I mean, you're right. It wasn't like he fell, like, you know, 30 feet off the cell, but he still, like, bounced. Did a flip, and he landed. He didn't land perfectly flat. Like, he landed kind of high up on his shoulders.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's not the most insane bump ever, but this dude's 51 years old.
Who's stupid now?
This is for all the people who have ever been called stupid. I was like, this feud is stupid.
Yes. I was like, oh, man, don't call that guy stupid.
Ooh, doggy. Yeah,
Braun Strowman, more like Braun Stupid Man.
What happened to Brain Strowman? Where is he at? Why couldn't he wrestle Shane? God. Yeah, I mean, it was what it was. There wasn't anything inherently wrong with it, but it was just
unnecessary.
Like, it was unnecessary. If there was a match on WrestleMania that didn't need to be on the card, it was this one. And then after that, it was Bad Bunny and Damian Priest versus The Miz and John Morrison. I was pleasantly surprised with Bad Bunny. Everything he did looked fine. I mean, obviously, he was carried through the match. But everything he did looked good. He didn't botch anything. He was in, like, you know, kind of similar to Raquel. He was in all the right spots. He didn't miss any cues. Everything that he did looked fine. The Canadian Destroyer that he gave to Morrison, or I should say the Canadian Destroyer that Morrison gave himself,
yeah.
It looked fine. Surprisingly, Damian Priest was in this match for, like, 2 or 3 minutes. Like, I was kind of surprised. It was mostly, like, Bad Bunny doing a lot of the work. So that kind of surprised me. But, I mean, he's kind of, like, the focal point of the match. So, I mean, I kind of get it. But I was just kind of surprised that, you know, the typical, like, celebrity match at WrestleMania, it's usually, like, the celebrities in, like, last to kind of, like, bat clean up and then go home.
Well, at least it was more of, like, Stephen Amell celebrity. What was that one year, that chick that was on, like, Good Morning America? And she basically, it was almost like she was just, or I don't know if it was Good Morning, she was, like, she hosts with, like, Mario Lopez on some show.
Maria Menounos?
Yeah, and it was like, it was almost like she was just there to make a mockery of it. Like, she didn't take any of it seriously, and she's, like, laughing through everything. I was like, get this bitch out of here, you know? Yeah.
Well, there was also, what's her name? Snooki.
Well, she did better than we expected. I mean, it wasn't great, but we were just like, fuck, are you serious, Snooki? Like, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this was one of those matches where before I saw it, I was like, okay, this is going to fucking suck.
Well, I mean, everybody was talking about Bad Bunny. I mean, yeah, he did better than anybody expected, but I don't think Miz and Morrison got enough credit for this, because they made that dude look fucking good.
Yeah.
The selling they did, just they took more than they probably needed. You know, there's a lot of vets out there, I'm not fucking doing that, you know, who the fuck's this guy or whatever.
You want me to lose to Bad Bunny?
Like, Miz has been, you know, he's won the championship at WrestleMania before, you know, he's been in the main event, and it's like, he just put the, like, I get, like, beforehand, everybody was like, really, Bad Bunny, and talking hella shit, and then afterwards, oh my god, he was great, and I'm like, and I watched the match, and I'm like, yeah, he did better than expected, but man, nobody was putting over Miz and Morrison. That they didn't get the credit they deserved for that match, because they really put that guy over.
I think Miz is a guy who, I mean, obviously he's, you know, he's in the later part of his career, but I think he's a guy that understands and accepts his position in the company. Like, he knows what it is. Mm. He's not, you know, he's not a Daniel Bryan. He's not an AJ Styles, but he knows what his job is, and he does, I mean, there's a lot you can say about The Miz, but he knows what his job is and he does his job well.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm never expecting a 5-star match on a Miz because I'm never going to get one. But in the case of matches like this, where his job was to put over Bad Bunny, he did it. So did Morrison. Morrison always looks good, but Miz did just as good of a job. So thumbs up. It was a good match. And then the main event was Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks for the SmackDown Women's title. Very good match. Both girls worked really hard. There was... I didn't catch this the first time I watched the match, but when I rewatched it earlier to kind of refresh my memory, and then you were kind of giving me like your play-by-play when you were watching it the other day, there was some rough spots in this match. I think it was a little bit of nervousness for both of them, not just Bianca. Sasha, I'm not the biggest Sasha Banks fan. I think she's fine. I can't stand her promos.
Yeah.
The way she talks, it bugs me the way that she cuts promos, and I cannot take her. It's the same thing with Becky. I cannot take her seriously as a, you know, when she's trying to be a badass and trying to, like, you know, talk people into the building, so to speak. I can't take anything she says seriously. She's way too fucking small to be taken seriously, and I think that she's really fucking sloppy.
Yeah, that frog splash was ugly.
So did you catch what I don't know if it was legitimately. So what Michael Cole and Corey Graves said was that she was going for the Meteora. No. But she changed her mind halfway through.
I think
they
were covering it up.
I think so too.
To me, it looked like she got almost like she got scared halfway, like she was going to bump wrong on it or something. Like she was going to bump wrong on her knees. Which I, granted, come from, like, I understand because the first time I did a frog splash, I didn't have my knee pads on and I regretted it for like a week after that because I fucked both my, I like messed my knees up. But
I'm sure Brennan does too.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like Brennan ish, but it was just like one of those, oh shit. And I never forgot to wear knee pads after that again.
Oh, like there was one time I hit pedigree off of the, I think, second rope. And I wasn't wearing knee pads either. And I was like, I'm never fucking doing that again.
I don't understand the people that don't wear them. I'm like, you're going to regret it. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But down the road. I remember going up to Seattle. And one of the guys, my buddy Drew. And I remember he wrestled with Kenny. And I was like, well, you're not wearing any knee pads, huh? And he goes, nope. It's the summer of no knee protection. And granted, okay, so he was in a tournament that night. And his match with Kenny was the first round. I see him later that night. He's getting ready for his next match. And lo and behold, he's got his knee pads on. I said, hey, what happened to summer? No knee protection. He said, fuck that. I guess he messed his knee up to the point where it like had a nasty ass blister on it or whatever that like ripped right off in the like he developed it in the match and then it ripped off at the end of the match. And his knee was like hella bruised the next day, I guess. But he's all never again. So I don't understand how some of these guys get away with some of the shit they do with no knee pads.
I don't know why you do that to begin with.
I'm just like, I get the whole I'm a tough guy type thing, but I'm like, dude, you're probably gonna regret it that when you're older, man. I'm telling you right now. I mean,
fuck, man. Even wearing knee pads, I still regret fucking.
I've had one knee surgery. Okay, I never want to have another knee surgery ever again because it was one of the most painful. I don't know if it was the anesthesiologist that I had for the knee surgery. But waking up from that knee surgery was one of the most painful experiences of my life. So I don't want to ever go through that again.
Yeah. So wear like 4 knee pads, kids.
Or just wear knee pads that are good quality,
or that,
you know.
Yeah.
McDavid's.
That have.
That's exactly, my pick of choice is McDavid's.
I think those are the ones I wore too.
They get a little extra cushion in there.
Yeah. So yeah, there was a couple spots that were kind of rough, but overall I thought this match was great. It really put over Bianca as a, you know, a new up and coming star. That fucking hair whip. Oh my God. There were people online that thought that the sound effect was piped in, the whip.
No.
And I was like, no.
It's basically like, I haven't been whipped with hair like that, but I have been hit with a pool cue, which is probably with the same feel that what she felt and made this the exact same goddamn sound. Those things, that kind of shit sounds like that for real.
Yeah.
And it's because the acoustics as well on the
exactly,
outside.
Exactly. Yeah. That whole ringside area was mic'd incredibly well. And if you need need further proof, a massive welt
instantly
showed up on Sasha's, like, the right side of her abdomen. And even, like, after the match was over and Sasha was outside the ring, she was, like, pointing, like, the camera was on her and she was like, "You see this?" And she was pointing to it. I was like, "That looks fucking gnarly." And she's also done that hair whip spot before in NXT, and it makes the exact same sound. So, yeah, Bianca won with the KO, the KOD, which is, I think they said it stands for, like, the kiss of death or something like that. Which is essentially, it's
Psycho Driver.
Yeah, it's your old finish. And she won the title, and, I thought it was a great match. The opening of the match was, really cool because, both of them got legitimately, like, teary eyed and emotional. It's like, you know, it's the second ever women's main event of WrestleMania. It's, you know, two black women main eventing WrestleMania. And you could tell that, you know, it legitimately meant a lot to both of them. So that was really cool. So an excellent night one of WrestleMania.
I think the only thing I didn't, well, I liked the submission, the way that it wasn't the bank statement she did. It was almost like a Rings of Saturn type maneuver that Sasha had on Bianca, and she was like choking her with her hair at the same time. That was cool. I remember I was telling you about the gorilla press in the ring. The only reason I didn't like it is just because it took hella long and they both looked like they were both concentrating not to fall. And I'm just like, ladies, like, I would say I would have been pissed if it was two guys doing it too. Okay. So don't, like, I'm just you're in a fight and it just seemed like they were more concentrating not to fall. Like, you could just see it on their faces. I was like, yeah, it looked cool, but at the same, and I think I was just getting annoyed by Michael Cole because he kept talking about how strong Bianca was. I was like, no shit, she's strong. She's, you know, in the promo video, you see her fireman carrying Otis's big ass. And then it's like, Sasha is like, not even close. I'm like, she should be chucking her around like that.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I liked the match still. I just had a few parts. I was just like, okay, it was just kind of like, and you were telling me about Sasha's frog splashes always sucked. I'm like, fuck, is she still doing it then? Like, you got a crash pad at the PC. Why don't you work on that a little bit, you know?
I don't know.
If you're worried about your knees, don't do it.
It's like nobody sat her down and was like, Sasha,
don't do this.
Mercedes. Okay. No, but like, yeah, I mean, it goes back to, WrestleMania 31, where it was that triple threat with her, Becky, and Charlotte, and where Sasha was dressed up. Her attire was like Eddie Guerrero themed. And after the match was over, I think Chavo went on Twitter and he was like, "Don't ever do a frog splash again." I was like, "Jesus Christ!"
Snug.
So, but yeah, I mean, her frog splashes have never looked very good. But and it's speaks volumes because Kevin Owens, who weighs like three times Sasha weight, he does a great frog splash.
Yeah, he does.
So it has nothing to do with, you know, weight or anything like that.
I mean, you know how I've been feeling about Sasha for a while. I kind of feel she's kind of been stagnant with her performances. And I mean, but I was really happy for Bianca because you could tell, like, you know, she had to stop herself for in the beginning where she started really, like, she wasn't just tearing up, she was crying. And then she had to kind of, all right, I'm a professional. Let's do this. And basically, that just told me, I was like, she really does appreciate that she's not taking this for granted at all. And because you know, Sasha's had her, you know, not the main event type moment or whatever, but she's had her WrestleMania matches.
Yeah.
And so, but to see somebody like a young prospect like Bianca, you know, just appreciating what she's, you know, the opportunity she's given and really like run with it, and
which is funny show because up. Bianca's older than Sasha.
Well, I mean, yeah, but it's just like, you know, in the business and everything, I mean, it was just like, okay, you know, you really feel good for those kind of wrestlers. You feel good for, because, you know, a lot of workers take this shit for granted. And
yeah, that was the feel good, one of the feel good moments of WrestleMania. It's like, it's that lasting impression of, it's like the last thing you see as the show goes off the air. It's Bianca Belair with the women's title and her family at ringside. Her dad like almost leapt over the barricade. and we didn't mention that, or maybe we did, or maybe it was before we started recording, but Michael Cole botched the finish.
Yeah.
And when she hit the KOD and pinned Sasha, he's like, "Shot, Banks kicks out! Banks kicks out!" While fucking Bianca's music is playing, pyro. and the bell's ringing, and she's like freaking out, and like pyro and ballyhoo's going off, and is she kicked out? It's like, fuck you, Michael Cole, you suck at your job. So then WrestleMania Night 2... WrestleMania 37, Night 2, Sunday.
Be there or be dead.
Are you?
And if you're in jail, you better break the fuck out.
So they actually reused kind of that opening package from last year's WrestleMania with that, like, that Jack Sparrow, kind of like sound-alike guy.
You sure it wasn't Johnny Depp?
I'm fairly certain.
You positive?
No.
Might want to look into that. Might be worth looking into. I'm just saying.
No, okay. The first match was The Fiend versus Randy Orton.
And tell me why. Okay, I don't know if you got the part, but it was the part where it was the CGI where they cut to The Fiend where he's got the hood on and everything, and it's supposed to be like the corridor, but it's like on the Titantron or whatever.
Yep.
And it closes up on his face. I was like, Jesus Christ, he looks like fucking angry. I just started dying, like laughing hysterically because his face, like, it got this look on
his
face.
Was it the burn fit?
Yeah, before he like dissolves into the regular, you know, back to his old self. But it's just the way he looked. I was like, Jesus Christ, he looks like an angry fucking cat right there.
Actually, I didn't catch that, but
I started cracking up. I was just like, I know it's irrelevant, but it made me laugh.
It didn't make me laugh because the whole time I was like, okay, how the fuck are they going to do this match? Like, is it going to be...
How are they going to screw this up?
Yeah, I was like, because I had a couple of ideas. I was like, okay, they're either going to... it's going to be the Randy Orton versus The Fiend, who he would like show up in his like his burned up gimmick, and it was going to be really fucking short, or something was going to happen, and it was going to be... I actually had kind of like an Undertaker type idea where like Alexa was going to come out, and they would do something where like it would be like the burned up Fiend, and they would like have him in like a box or something like that. And she would do some kind of like weird spell, and then the box would open up, and it would be
correction, box-like structure.
Box-like structure. Well, no, originally I was thinking like a coffin or something. And then she was going to do like some kind of spell, and then it would open up, and it would be the Fiend, like the non-burned Fiend, and that would just do whatever. And I was kind of right, but
his entrance was cool. I liked it.
It was fine.
And coming out of the Jack in the Box.
Yeah, Alexa comes out, and there's like a box-like structure at ringside, and it was a Jack in the Box type deal, and she's like, you know, doing the thing, and then his entrance music plays, and then he comes out from out of the box and takes a very long time to look around, and then he basically Austin style dives off the box onto Orton, and they have their match. And from like the stuff that they did in the ring, it was fine. There was nothing wrong with it. It was just a typical Fiend match. And he's going for Sister Abigail and, you know, the Alexa Bliss, the goo, whatever.
Goo!
And he gets distracted. Orton hits an RKO, pins him.
Yep.
And I was like,
God damn it. Fucking goo.
I told you, fuckers. I laughed. Yeah. Okay. So,
my bananas.
We're not doing that bit again. I died when I was watching this match. I was like, this is fucking hilarious. And I don't know why.
Apparently they're doing, it's the story of Samson and from the Bible and his lover betraying him or something like that. I'm not very well read on the Bible, so I can't really go into more further detail about that, but I...
You mean to tell me you're not Jesus Christ Almighty?
No.
Oh, okay. Must have had someone else.
I think you're talking about Seth Cage.
Sorry, wrong person, sorry. Yeah, sorry. You guys look a lot alike.
I know, that's what I hear.
Oh, well, I mean, if they go that route, then we'll have to wait and see. I mean, if it's Bray Wyatt doing the creative behind this, then I mean, it might be cool. We'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully, it doesn't take another fucking 5 months the whole burned up Fiend thing gimmick. But I don't know. I was just like kind of like perplexed about like what I had just seen, and like as soon as like Bray's looking at Alexa and it does like a and the lights go out, you just
boo, and they cut to commercial like instantly. Yeah. Man, because they were like, fuck, this didn't go over how we hoped it was gonna go over.
Well, I mean, fuck, like you're trying to book a match like at the Thunderdome, and it's like Vince is like, god damn it, I forgot we're in front of fans now.
Cut to commercial.
Kevin, cut to commercial.
Snickers, satisfied.
That crowd could have used a Snickers at that point. So yeah, that match fucking sucked. And then after that, it was the women's tag team title match, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Natty and Tamina. I will say that my expectations for this match were very low, and it was slightly better than I expected. So, I mean, I suppose that's a victory. It still was not good. The only positives in this match were that kick that Shayna gave Natty and the finish.
Yeah.
That was basically it. I mean, everyone worked hard. I'll give them credit for that. It just, the pacing of the match was just awful, and it was sloppy, and it had Nia Jax in it. And that's all I really need. And Tamina. And that's all I really need to say. After that, it was Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn with Logan Paul.
The savior of boxing.
Apparently. No, that's his brother.
Oh, wait. Well, there's two Paul brothers here? Yeah, I thought they were the same guy. They're both a couple Paul, fucking douchebags.
Yeah, Jake Paul and Logan Paul. You know what? Maybe Logan might have boxed. I don't fucking know. I don't give a shit. But I don't even know why Logan Paul was involved in this match. He's just
because
like one day.
He's a Paul brother.
One day, Sammy's like, hey, Logan Paul followed me on Twitter. I'm going to invite him to SmackDown. And then he showed up on SmackDown, and Sammy. And Sammy, he's like, he has like this weird like outfit on, like this like nice weird suit. And Logan Paul is coming down the ring with like this weird music, and Sammy's doing like really weird like dance thing. And then he's like doing like an interview segment with Logan Paul. And I don't know if this was by design or if it was just because it was probably really fucking hot in the Thunderdome. Sammy's drenched in sweat. And he's, like, talking to Logan Paul, and he's just, like, he's doing that because he's Sami Zayn and he's weird. He, like, can't really sit still, and he's just, like, drenched in sweat, and Logan Paul is just looking at him like, yeah, okay. And I was like, this character that Sami Zayn does, it's dumb, but I love it. Like, it's just so weird, but it's, like, it's so far off from, like, that white meat baby face from, like, NXT, and like, he was having, like, you know, the best match on every show, and like everybody loves Sami Zayn, and now he's just insane, and he has like this giant ass beard, and like he dresses like what's his name, Fidel Castro or something like that. And like, you know, the conspiracy theories, and like they even said like I think it was it Michael Cole, yeah, he was like, he looked at Corey Graves, and he's like, so what is this conspiracy theory that like Sami thinks everyone has against him? And Corey Graves is like, well, it's just nobody believes him. And I was
all right.
About what? And like Corey Graves like went into this spiel about like, well, nobody believes him that, you know, blah, 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 this and that. And Michael and JBL was like, okay, but what's the conspiracy? Like, you haven't said anything. And I still don't know what the conspiracy theory is, but I don't know. So in a surprise to no one, this match was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It was basically, like you said the other day, them having like, it's like a collection of like all of their indie matches, like into one match that was less than 10 minutes long. That was my only gripe with the match. I wish it went a little bit longer because I was like, just as I was really getting into it, then Owens hit a stunner and wins.
Yeah.
But everything they did looked awesome. Sammy hit, there was one point where they were slapping each other in the corner really fucking hard. I think at one point, Sammy legitimately punched Kevin in the face like twice. they did like the hockey fight spot. Sammy hit a brainbuster on the
apron,
ring apron, to
the hardest part of the ring, mind you.
In case nobody knew. Kevin does a couple cannonball spots. Sammy goes for a superplex, and Owens reverse. He does that weird like reversal where he reverses it into his own superplex, or yeah, fisherman suplex. That was really cool. And they recreated the spot from whatever pay-per-view it was like 4 years ago where Sammy finally beat Kevin Owens, where he hits the Huluva kick and then Kevin kind of like slumps down, and Sammy's kind of like, you know, this guy was my friend. Do I really want to do this? And he's like, yeah, fuck it. And then he hits a Huluva kick and pins him. They kind of recreated that spot where Sammy hits the Huluva kick and Kevin kind of like crumbles down. And he's like, yeah, yeah, I need to do this. And then he, you know, runs back for another one. And then Kevin hits two super kicks and a stunner and pins him. It was a really good match. And then afterwards, Logan Paul is like, yeah, good job, Kevin. And then Sammy's like, you're my guest of honor. And Logan pushes him down. And they did the spot where Logan's like raising Kevin's hand. And Kevin's like, no, I don't know. And then you could tell the crowd was like, okay, we know what's going to happen. Yeah. And then he hits a stunner. He hits a hell of a stunner on Logan Paul. I was like, shit. He sold that like death. Yeah, it's a really good match. And then after that, it was Sheamus versus Matt Riddle for the U.S. title. This match fucking ruled.
They beat the shit out of each other in this match, right?
Yeah. God.
I legit laughed when they went up for the, he went to do the, what does he call it, the Celtic Cross off the top rope. They slip.
Oh, White Noise.
White Noise. Sheamus lands on his feet. Turns, thinks about going back up, says, fuck it, just hits it regular, then climbs up to the top rope and just knee drops the fuck out of Matt Riddle. I was like, oh!
Jesus, that was brutal. Yeah, that looked gnarly. Yeah, they beat the fuck out of each other. I mean, it was a very stiff match. And once again, that's kind of what I expected. It was only 10 minutes? Wow. What was the finish of the match, Sheamus hits the bro kick, just fucking destroys his face. Like, he was bleeding bad. And I don't know if Riddle was kind of doing, like, the working thing where, like, if you're bleeding from your lip or something, you kind of, like, mix it with, like, spit to, like, make it look like there's a lot of blood. Mm-hmm. But he looked busted open. Like, it looked brutal. But, yeah, it was a really good match, and they beat the fuck out of each other. So, if you like really stiff matches, this was one of them.
Yep.
On this show.
Really snug.
Yep. And then it was Apollo Crews versus Big E for the Intercontinental title in a Nigerian drum fight.
Another snug match.
So I didn't hear this the first time I watched the match, but they explained what the rules are for a Nigerian drum fight. Did you catch this?
No.
So in the simplest form, it's a no DQ match. But what the announcers said was the rules of a Nigerian drum fight is to beat your opponent so badly that it sounds like a drum.
Okay.
So, but yeah, this was another fucking awesome match. It was, they beat the fuck out of each other once again. It was, I mean, I can tell that Apollo knew that this was like probably one of the best opportunities he was going to get on Mania. So, God, dude, they beat the fuck out of each other.
The Uranage off the apron onto the steel steps.
Oh, my
nasty.
God. Yeah, the Uranage, I think the opening of the match, they just picked up kendo sticks and just started hitting each other back and forth. That one spot near the end where Apollo was just like wailing on him with that kendo stick, and then it just like, he was hitting him so hard that it broke, and then he kept hitting him with it. And then the ending was Big E goes for the big ending, and fucking Babatunde interferes.
I laughed at it. Well, before that, it was Apollo Crews went for the frog splash to the table, and
Big E moved.
And Apollo just goes right. This is the way he goes. Like, it's all weight coming down. Like, I cracked up. I know it just looked hella funny to me when I saw him go through the table. He just went like, nope, there's no stopping him. He's gone. Almost like he was about to go through the damn ring with all that momentum down on.
Yeah, that was brutal. And then, yeah, like I said, Daba Kato, whatever you want to call him, gives Big E it was a choke slam, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gives him a choke slam, and then he pulls Apollo Crews on him and pins him. I mean, whatever. I don't know why we needed Babatunde as Apollo Crews.
Because he's a former Minnesota Viking. That's why.
Okay.
He's not good. I didn't like any of his shit in Evolve, but whatever.
I mean, he wasn't good in... I mean, I didn't see any of his stuff in Evolve, but he's not good. He wasn't good in NXT. He wasn't good on that Raw Underground match he had with Braun Strowman. So it's like, I don't understand. I don't know. It's literally just because he's big. That's literally the answer. I liked the match until the finish. It was really good. I once again, I kind of wish they got a little bit more time.
Yeah.
Whatever. I think they're I want to say they're continuing the feud. So probably at WrestleMania Backlash, they'll get a rematch that'll hopefully go a little bit longer. So we'll see what happens. After that, it was Rhea Ripley versus Asuka for the Raw Women's title. Another really good match, but the crowd was dead.
Yeah, it just seemed like it was like they just had three really hot matches right before this. And I think like it, I think they should have put Sheamus and Riddle as the opener, but yeah. That's just me. And I think Fiend and Orton could have probably went on before the main event, honestly.
Yeah, that should have been the bathroom break match. That would have been a great way to kick off the show. But, you know, it's like you start off with Orton versus the Fiend, and it kind of sets the pace for the rest of the show. But, yeah, they had a really good match. They worked really well. They were hitting a lot of what was that one spot that Rhea did to Asuka? Or no, Asuka did to Rhea. It was that kick to the back she did. It was like
separate a shoulder.
Yeah, basically. At one point, Asuka gave Rhea Ripley a DDT off the ring apron, and I think Asuka took a worse bump than Rhea did.
Yes,
but I don't know why. Like Asuka does this on some pay per views where she just like. She does these weird bumps off the ring apron, and I think at one point, I forget who she was wrestling, but she did a swinging neck breaker off of the ring apron to the ground, and she might have did it to Alexa Bliss, who is like 90 pounds, and it just looked like it just killed her, and it was the same thing with this one. Like, Rhea was able to like basically land on her knees, and Asuka just took a flat back bump off of the ring apron to the ground. So that looked brutal. But the finish of the match was Asuka was running the ropes, and Rhea basically just picked her up for the riptide and hit it and pinned her.
Yeah.
So it was kind of out of nowhere. You were saying earlier they probably told him to go home
because
they probably running out of time or something. Wouldn't surprise me. But it was a good match. It was,
I liked it.
Yeah. It's just the crowd was dead for it. And then the main event, Roman Reigns versus, Edge versus Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan he didn't get as big of a pop as I thought he would.
I think the crowd popped loudest for Edge. I think that's what a lot of people were just wanting to see Edge at Mania.
Yeah, I think so. But I was just expecting like, you know, Daniel Bryan's main eventing WrestleMania for the second time. And it's like, they're just like,
yay. You get it, white bread.
So this was a good match. It was just kind of like, because it was a triple threat match, it was like just all over the place. The one spot that I really liked was, I think Edge was like hitting, was it Roman or Brian? I can't remember, but he was hitting somebody with a chair like so hard that it broke.
I think it was Roman.
It might have been Roman. And he went for like a crossface, and then he grabbed the part of the chair and was using that part of the chair to crossface Roman.
Yeah.
And the look on Roman's face was like he was selling it like he was about to die. And I was like, damn, that's really fucking cool. And then Brian came in and put the yes lock on Roman also. And then the Edge and Brian just kind of like look at each other and they just start like headbutting each other.
No, you let go.
Yeah. And it's like, they just started headbutting each other. And it's like great for people with a history of neck injuries to be headbutting each other and concussions. But, you know, what do I know? there's another spot where I think Roman was set up on, was it the announce table or was it the stairs? And Edge just like came in from out of nowhere and just speared
him. Roman powerbombed Daniel Bryan onto the commentary table, and then he turned and Edge speared him off the steps.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That was really cool. I didn't expect that. But yeah, I mean, everybody, it was a great match. If you've seen a WWE style triple threat match, it's basically like, you know, the three guys start in the ring, somebody gets thrown out, the two guys work, somebody else gets thrown out, the other guy comes in, and then they work, and then there's a spot, and then blah, blah, blah. It was a good match. I don't know if I liked this better than the night one main event. I'm not sure. It was, I think just because, like, it being a triple threat match, it's kind of like a, I don't want to say like a handicap, but it's like, you're kind of like basically guaranteed to you know, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like, you can have one guy, like I mentioned earlier, you can have one guy who's like outside, and then you're basically just waiting for your cue for the other guy to go out, and then you get in, and then you get your shine and whatever. But a lot of people think that with Roman throwing Edge on top of Bryan, that Edge actually won. But I guess Edge's shoulders were down also. So then, like, Bryan, he throws Bryan down, and then he throws Edge on top of Bryan, and then he basically pins both of them.
I think it was funny, that part, though, where Edge concertos Bryan, and then he's going to do it to Roman, and you just see the crowd completely change, like, the atmosphere change, because they're like, oh, fuck, is Edge going to win? And then Jey Uso comes in, takes out Edge, and the crowd just is like, all right, Roman's winning.
Yeah.
So like, you just see the look on people's faces. They're just like, all right, we see where this is going.
Yeah. It's like, God, I'm so fucking sick of Jey Uso. Like, oh, and he won the Andre the Giant battle.
Yeah, that's like, I was just like, okay.
Yeah. It's like, no, let's not have Nakamura win it when we're starting to push him again. Let's have fucking Jey Uso. Whatever. So, yep. That was WrestleMania. Very good show altogether.
Yeah.
It far exceeded my expectations. I mean, we were kind of saying that we both thought it was going to be good, but, like, you know, it's Vince, it's WWE. It's like, okay, they're going to throw a monkey wrench in somewhere and something's going to get fucked up. I mean, and you could say that the Fiend Orton match was that fuck up. And whether or not we really needed that tag team turmoil match in there, yeah, I think they could have shuffled the card around a little bit and made it a one-night show, but I don't know why they made this two nights, now that I think about it. I mean, last year's, I kind of understand because, like, I don't know. I guess just to, like, I mean, what was the reason they did Wrestle Kingdom two nights?
I don't know. Probably because, like, just to I honestly don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah,
like, that just, kind of just trying to put more kind of, like, without burning people out, but it's in the scene. Then you're just like, I don't know. When I was watching the replay, like, I was going through and watching it on demand, I was just like, you know what? This could have really been shortened to one night. Like, I feel like, but, you know, I was talking about, like, every promo beforehand was like 10 minutes, and I'm just like, I felt like they were really putting that to, I get the hype videos and stuff, but it was almost like they were letting people who were first time users catch up on what was going on. I was like, fuck, I don't, you know, fucking just fuck those people, all right? You know, you catch up as you're watching the match.
It's like they have, you can put up a thing on Peacock. It's like, you know, new to WWE, we'll watch this.
Yeah.
And we'll catch you up over what happened the last year or so.
There was like that. There was some match, like some of the matches, like, I was just like, man, this could have been really easily made into one night, I think. But it is, I mean, I'm not going to, because I'm not like these people, fucking 8 hours or one night, like, sure.
Or maybe that's why they did it. They didn't want, because a lot of people were bitching about that one, what was it, WrestleMania 34. Five, whichever one had Ronda, Charlotte, and Becky as the main event. And that was like a 7.5 hour long show. And it's like, by the time, like, the main event started, it was like 9:30 or something. Or no, it was like 9 o'clock. And it's like, okay, so on the East Coast where the show is being taken place at, it's past midnight. And they're just now starting the main event. It's like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much every indie show on the East Coast.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Every indie show seems to go past midnight now.
That was from that one PWG show where we went to, the infamous, some of us have to work in the morning,
It was like, well, it was like almost, it was like 9:30 and that started. And I think that match went like 45 minutes.
No, it was past midnight.
It could have been past midnight because we still had like at least 6 hours to drive home. And I remember we didn't get home like 8 o'clock. We got home more like at 7.
Okay. So it was close to midnight. Yeah. But yeah, the point is it was like really fucking, you know, I mean, we were used to like shows ending at like, you know, 8 or 8:30 or something like that. It's like, okay, then we got a long ass drive back to, you know, back home, but it's like almost midnight. And I was like,
I think they also were trying it because they were waiting on seeing if there was, I think they were trying to, because the show started hella late, because they were waiting to see if, like, because I remember they were waiting to see if Samoa Joe, Kingston, the Briscoes were gonna, like, I think something happened where their flight got delayed and they were waiting to see if they were gonna make it on time. And then it didn't happen because I think Necro Butcher was supposed to work Eddie Kingston on that show. The Briscoes were the ones that originally was supposed to wrestle Super Dragon and Davey Richards, and I forget who Samoa Joe was supposed to work on that show, but I just remember they were like waiting on him because I think they were coming from ROH the night before and like something else happened. So they were like, all right, just start this fucking show.
Whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's, I guess if that's one way to prevent a show being too long, but it's still like each night was still like three and a half hours, which better than seven,
yeah.
But whatever. So, yep. WrestleMania, very good show. I think the next pay-per-view is WrestleMania Backlash, which I don't know if that's going to be like rematches from WrestleMania or if it's like,
maybe,
I mean, the only match that's been announced is Lashley versus McIntyre. That's the only match that's been announced for the shows, at least to best of my knowledge, but we'll see what happens. We were supposed to have a special guest with us tonight, but he fortunately had prior commitments, I guess. So we'll talk
about the drives again. Maybe we should call over at Mel's Diner and see if Johnny Valentino's in his usual booth.
Yes, is there a skinny fellow with glasses and a Detroit Lions hat?
Could pass anywhere between 18 and 50.
And then they'll promptly hang up on us. You mean Mr. Valentino? How dare you speak of him like that?
He's enjoying... He's at his usual table, currently enjoying his gourmet fries, as usual, with his iced cola.
Whatever. We'll try to get him on the next episode of the podcast. But that's going to do it for the... Wow, hour and a half. I honestly expected us to take like 2 hours for this one. So, bravo. So, we will be back at some point soon. I don't know. Is there any New Japan shows coming up?
I'm sure. I'm still trying to like... I was watching some, trying to catch up on some. I think I still got to finish the Osprey Ibushi match from Genesis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it was like 50 minutes, so yeah. I was just getting into it.
The New Japan regular.
Yeah, typical, you know. 45 minutes is the minimum there, fellas. This is the main event, you know.
We're looking for 5 stars from Uncle Dave here, guys. We need to go at least 50, maybe even 57. so we will catch you guys next time.